This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Chapter 2 of The Life of St. Paul the Apostle.
My name is Judas, not to be confused, I pray, with the one who betrayed our Lord. In my time, I was landlord of the best-known inn situated in the Jewish community of Damascus. It was there I met and knew Paul. He was blind when I first saw him, blinded and dazed, not a man to be feared. Yet at first I did fear him, knowing that he had set out from Jerusalem with a band of soldiers to massacre the Christians who lived in Damascus. He was the archenemy of Christ. Yet it was hard to realize this as he lay on a bed staring up at me with sightless eyes.
Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus.
Of whom do you speak? Isn't Jesus the one you most hate and persecute?
Lord Jesus, have mercy on my soul.
Who is Jesus, this one you speak of?
He is the Son of God who came to save the world.
Strange words from a man who had cursed the very name of Christ. Afterwards, those who had led him by the hand to my inn told me what had happened. On the very last day of the journey across the desert, from Jerusalem to Damascus, Paul had been blinded by a vision of Christ. And Christ had spoken to him with a love that had destroyed all of Paul's hatred. When Paul had been in my inn for 3 days, a Christian convert named Ananias came to me asking to see Paul, and I left them together.
Paul, I am blind. I cannot see who you are.
Ananias is my name. I am one of those you came here to kill.
Are you also the one he promised would come to see me?
I must be. For I had a vision of Christ, and he told me to come to this place. He spoke of you as his chosen instrument, saying that you would carry his name among nations, and that you will suffer much for his name.
I will glorify his name, and my joy will be to suffer.
Then, in Jesus, whom we both love, I lay hands on you, that your sight be restored, and that you be filled with the Holy Spirit.
And Paul was healed and could see. Afterwards, he was baptized and went out into the synagogues to glorify the name of Christ. And when the Jews saw this, they called him a traitor and plotted against his life. But the danger did not trouble him, for he knew that in Jesus there is no death.
My friend Ananias, I've come to say goodbye.
Goodbye?
All this is new to me. Too new. I haven't yet found myself. Nor have I completely understood what has happened to me. So I'm going away.
Into the desert? And its solitude?
You smile about it. But didn't the prophets of old also go there to commune with God and to be alone with Him?
In these days, Paul disappeared into the desert and was lost to his friends and his enemies.
Lord Jesus, I feel thy presence in the wind, and I feel thy forgiveness of my hatred for thee that is now turned to love. And I am overwhelmed that thou hast chosen me for one of thy apostles.
And when a few years had passed, Paul came back to Damascus, but was forced to flee. And Christ directed him to go back to Jerusalem, where one of the apostles, Barnabas, took him into his house.
I wish Peter were here. He would trust you and he would welcome you.
You do not trust me?
Oh, I do, yes. I had word from your friend Ananias. But the others, they're not sure of you.
I'll be the last to blame them.
Give them time. After all, only a few years ago, you had sworn to kill us all. And you still spell trouble.
I know. I was born to create havoc.
For a time, the Jews have not bothered us too much. We've been allowed to preach, so long as we haven't made ourselves too public. But now you have drawn attention to us again.
Yet I feel our Lord wanted me to come here.
But not to remain here. None of us expect to remain here long. After all, we are missionaries and have far-off destinations. You know that.
I know.
And there are many places in all directions. India, Africa, Macedonia, Europe, places yet unknown to us. And some of us may never come back.
It'll be a great adventure.
No doubt of that.
Now Paul and Barnabas journeyed northward to Antioch, taking with them another new apostle, Luke, who was still a young man and without much experience. And from Antioch they went by ship to the island of Cyprus, where Barnabas had been born. On Cyprus, Paul entered a Jewish synagogue and preached to the Jews who had gathered there.
I come to you as a Jew, yet more of a Jew than most of you, for I was born a Pharisee, dedicated to the preservation of Hebrew law. Some of you know about me. You know I was the sworn enemy of Christ, that I put to death many of his followers and threw many more into prison. But now I come to you in his name.
And they listened, Jews, pagans, and Gentiles.
And is there one among you who is not familiar with the law? No. Nor is there one among you who has forgotten how the prophets of our people foretold the coming of the Messiah. Yet when these prophecies came true, who among you believed? Who among you believed the Christ had come? Instead, you persecuted him, and you rejected him, and he was put to death. But I come to tell you he died that you may be saved. Now let me tell you about the miracle of my own salvation and how Christ appeared to me.
many who listened were baptized. Even the Roman consul turned to Christ. And when the apostles left Cyprus, Paul became leader. But when their ship put into Adalia on the mainland of Asia Minor, Paul and Barnabas pushed on into the mountain wilderness alone, because Mark would go no further with them.
Why did he go back?
He was homesick.
I think he was afraid, too.
He's young, without much experience. If he left us because he was afraid, then he must battle his own fear. No one can do that for him.
Listen.
What? Horses.
Brigands.
Coming this way.
We'd better hide. They went past.
Brigands, wild animals, and impassable mountains. We'll have to expect all these.
The roads are bad enough, but if brigands and Roman soldiers can cross the mountains, so can we.
There must be villages along the way, towns, maybe a city or two. It can't all be wilderness.
No, we'll find plenty of places where we can preach. Come, let's get as far as we can before nightfall.
Danger always present. But there were towns and villages. And where there was a village, there was a synagogue. And Paul came across many who had known him before.
And I speak also to you who are converted to Christ and who are Christians baptized in his name. For you fled from Jerusalem and other places where I persecuted you, and you came here. And I say to you these words. Perhaps Christ made use of me even when I persecuted him. For through my hatred of him I caused you and many like you to seek refuge in faraway lands. And when you had come to these lands, you spread his name to all those you met. And the ones you met have, in turn, gone further afield and have also spread the name of Christ.
We don't want you here.
Who are you? And for whom do you speak?
I am a Jew. And I speak for the Jews who abide by the laws of Moses and Abraham. We'll have nothing to do with your ravings about this Nazarene you call Christ. You come here to undermine the teachings of our fathers and their fathers before them. You're not wanted here.
And there were those who joined in the cry against Paul and Barnabas, and who set upon the two apostles, beating them with sticks and throwing stones at them, until the apostles lay bruised and bleeding under the city walls.
Even the wild dogs smell our blood.
I doubt if I have one unbroken bone in my body.
There'll be someone to bind our wounds. There are Christians here. In a while they'll come to us. We are weak and sorely afflicted. What was it our Lord said on the mount? When I am weaker, I am strong. Then we are strong, Brother Barnabas. Strong in the Lord. Rejoice, because we suffer in his name.
Thank God for your courage, Paul.
And they continued from place to place, and some who listened sided with them, and others sided against them. In days to come, they entered the little city of Lystra, where they preached in the streets and marketplace. And one day, while Paul spoke to those about him, a crippled beggar clawed his way toward the apostle.
I know not whether I am a Jew or non-Jew. I am a beggar. Do you also speak to beggars?
I'll speak to any who listen.
I will listen, Master.
And have you believed?
Master, look at me. Look upon my misery, at my twisted body, at my shrunken limbs. Look upon something unwholesome that crawls and who has never known what it is to walk as other men walk. Look upon my filth, at my rags that cannot hide the dirt sores that cover this miserable body. And tell me whether it matters one way or another to Christ, whether something like me believes or does not believe.
A man's body, whether it is beautiful or deformed, is returned to the dust from where it comes. I look upon you, and I see only what is inside you. I see the Holy Spirit shining within you. I do not see you crippled. You say you are, but I do not see it.
Master, I believe. I have faith. I feel my heart bursting with it as I look at you and see truth in your face. Master, stretch forth your hand, and I will be cured. I will be healed and made whole.
Know that you are united by your faith in Christ. Arise and walk, for you are healed.
Oh, Christ, my God, how can I glorify thy name? For I am healed, and I can walk like other men. Lord, look upon me, thy servant, as I glorify thy name.
And the multitude fell back in amazement when Paul's miracle cured the crippled beggar. And many were afraid and fled from the scene, while some knelt and prayed. But the high priests of the synagogues were filled with rage when they saw the power of Jesus in Paul's miracle, and they plotted against him.
Paul, Are you awake?
Yes. Where have you been?
To the marketplace, listening.
What's being said?
That we're sorcerers. Mm. You in particular.
Everyone thinks this?
Not everyone. But everyone is bewildered and many are afraid. So the high priests are playing on their fears.
Well, we should have known.
Because one sick man was healed, they're saying you're a master of magic.
They say that too.
But once we've gained the confidence of most people here, we'll use our magic powers to cast spells over them.
They cannot understand that our miracle of healing was performed only in Christ and through him. And because of the beggar's faith.
And we'll have precious little opportunity to convince them.
Oh?
The high priests are bribing people to testify against us. To swear that we practice sorcery. That much I found out.
To testify against us, that means we're to be arrested.
And put on trial.
We could run, but there's nowhere to run to.
No, we could never get out of the city.
Then we'll wait for them to come.
You hear anything?
No. Do you?
No. But they'll be coming.
At least we know the verdict of the trial. Even before it begins, we're already convicted.
You know that's the law, Paul.
I saw it applied once against Stephen.
You can't forget him, can you?
I suppose Stephen's death and its memory is a monument to my sins. I was one who cried out for his life. I helped to convict him. I stood by while he was put to death, stoned according to the law. Now with you, I stand where my victim once stood. Well, that's the way it should be. I only hope that when the time comes, I'll die just as bravely as he did, forgiving and blessing the ones who kill us.
Is that what he did?
He forgave them, as our Lord forgave those who put him on the cross. I was there. I heard Stephen's last words.
Listen.
They're coming for us. Well, we have time to pray. It may be our last chance.
And so they were brought to trial. And the trial took place on the steps outside the synagogue for all to witness.
When Stephen stood as we now stand, he was alone. No, not alone. For he stood with Christ.
And we also stand with Christ. It looks as though you'll be questioned first.
You are a Jew?
I am.
And you preach against the Jews?
I preach not against, but for Christ.
You have entered the synagogues and have preached against the laws of Moses and Abraham.
I have sought to enlighten our people and all other peoples, Jew and non-Jew alike.
The law prescribes the sacrifice of oxen. You have rebuked us for making these sacrifices.
Not by the blood of oxen shall your sins be washed away, but only by the blood of Christ.
You know the penalty for this blasphemy.
I do.
And you?
I do.
The two apostles were convicted and sentenced to death. According to custom, they were dragged outside the city, just as St. Stephen had been. And there the crowd stoned them. When it was over, the crowd left the two bodies on the ground for the vultures or the packs of wild dogs, or for any others who would dispose of the bodies.
Alive.
Paul,
you're not dead.
We are dead.
The dead cannot feel pain.
Spirit in torment.
The dead cannot hear the cry of a wolf. It was a wolf, and we are not dead.
And when the night was come, help also came. Some of the Christians came out from the city, and among them were recent converts to Christ. And they carried Paul and Barnabas to the house of two women, whose names were Lois and Eunice, who were mother and daughter. And together with others, the two women cared for Paul and Barnabas and brought them back to health, but in secret. And when the two apostles were well enough to travel, they called the converts together, as was their custom, and Paul spoke to them.
Listen well to what I tell you. You are becoming many, but you are few. Do not go out in the marketplaces, nor in the synagogues to preach, but assemble in each other's houses to pray. Do not bring the anger of the Jews against you, for you are not many, and you will all be killed. For now you have one great purpose: to organize your various communities so that each community will become a cell, living its own Christian life and bound together in Christ. And in this way, the church will grow strong and will flourish when the time is ripe for it to flourish, and when all may witness its growth. For a time, Barnabas and I will be far away from you. But we shall be one with you in Christ, and we shall pray for you. And someday we shall come back and together we shall glorify the name of Christ. And now we take leave of you in his name.
And the two apostles went on to the city of Derbe, preaching wherever they went, as they gradually made their way back toward Jerusalem, ending Paul's first missionary journey. And by now Paul had learned much, and his heart rejoiced that he was serving the Lord and would continue to serve. But his greatest work and his greatest trials were still in the future, and there were many who feared him and who worked against him. And as I look back, I think that if Peter was the rock on which the church was built, then Paul was the word that came from the mouth of Christ.